overwhelming. But with Visit Tanzania for Less, exploring this East African gem on a budget is not only possible, but incredibly rewarding. Whether you're a solo backpacker, a volunteer, or just a budget-conscious traveler, we provide valuable insights and resources to make your journey unforgettable without breaking the bank. Book your trip now with just a $300 deposit and flexible monthly payments until your travel date. For more travel inspiration and tips, follow us on Instagram or visit us at visittanzania4less.com. Visit Tanzania for Less, your dream adventure within reach.
And welcome to Torn Into, December 20th on 103.7 The Beat in M106. I am Gregory T. Roberts.
And I'm Melvin Burns.
And welcome to the show, Torn Into, the show that gives you news, information, and more, plus weather. And also, we want to let you know that the show is sponsored by Bishop Customs Series and Entertainment. Remember, for all your entertainment needs, please see the Bishop. Thank you for getting that down at the bottom. Couple of announcements we need to make. All these shows repeat themselves, of course. If you're driving and would like to see the show, please go to all our media sites and you'll be able to see them. Or if you're on Facebook right now and have a question, you can be a part of it by going to our Facebook site on 103.7 The Beat, WUVS. Or M106. What is the weather looking like, sir?
Well, partially sunny today, low 24, high of 32. Saturday, temperature is going to drop overnight, a low of 15, high of 25. Sunday, low of 13, high of 29. Looks like our only chance of snow next week will be Monday. We have a 50% chance of snow, low 28, high 37. Tuesday, Christmas Eve, low of 28. Ooh. High of 35, and Wednesday on Christmas Day, low 29, high of 35, and next Thursday, we have a low of 30 and a high of 37, so looks like we will not have a white Christmas at this time.
Which is all right with me. Okay, just to let you know, a couple of other announcements is that this is our last show of the year. And we want to thank Lady J, Janae, for all the work that she does. Yes. She is the producer and the director and PA, all the work that they do. Big Rob, Mihan, the staff here, they deserve a break. So let's give them a break. And we're going to take a break. And a big announcement. This is the last time you will hear the show named Torn Into. It's going to change in January. The show will still be here. The name is going to change. With that said, we have a new guest. He's not new to you. He's not new to us. But we would like to thank our brother showing up here. I call him the coach. Coach, counselor, commissioner. I mean, he's got a lot of titles. But welcome to the stage, Coach Ronald Jenkins. How you doing?
Thank you. I'm actually doing pretty good, man. And good to see you guys today and see the smiles and the energy coming from everybody, man. So it's a blessing to be a part of this show today and get into this holiday season.
Yeah. We get new listeners all the time. So for a few people who may not know who you are, you want to introduce yourself? It's kind of what some of the hats you wear around the community.
I'm just Ronald Jenkins, man.
I hate to be in trouble, but tell folks a little bit about some of the things that you're involved in.
Oh, where do I start? I mean, so I'm the owner of the West Michigan Lakehawks, which is our professional basketball team here in West Michigan. Mm-hmm. I'm actually the CEO of our Lakehawks in Flight Foundation, which is our nonprofit organization. I'm also the assistant athletic director over at Muskegon Catholic Central. I'm also on the executive committee of the American Basketball Association. I'm also the North Central Region Chair for the ABA, overseeing 45 different professional teams throughout the United States.
Wow.
I'm also on the City of Muskegon Heights city council. So many different hats, but man, being able to stay humbled. But most importantly, I'm a grandfather as well. So I got five grandkids. So I'm trying to get ready for this holiday season. But man, yeah, just excited just to be a part of the different things that we were able to do in this community.
I want to touch on that last thing you talked about, grandkids. How blessed is it when I was talking to Melvin about my daughter calling me excited about being able to pass on traditions to her children. Mm-hmm. Talk about being a grandfather.
Wow, man, it's amazing. You know, I only had one son, so to have one child and to actually now have five extended from that one, it's amazing to do that. And you know, most people don't understand or don't know that I was actually a twin at one time.
Really?
My mom lost. Lost my brother actually during our birth. I didn't know that until I was like up in age. My aunt actually had to share that information with me because my mom never talked about it. So now, you know, going down the line, we have twins throughout our family, and yet now my son turns around, he has twins. So now I have twins, one boy, one girl, that made number four and number five. So I have two grandsons and three granddaughters. So it's amazing, you know, that you can see them grow and smile and, you know, go through their good times and bad times. The only thing I don't like, man, is when, you know, now with this breathing issues when they little babies, they can't tell you what's wrong.
Right.
So I'm always nervous. I can't go to sleep at night. I'm like, man, I'm always looking over everybody else like, okay, it's a normal thing. I'm like, no. So I'm always the one that's more trying to figure out how to fix it. So
I got an important question for both of you guys. What's your grandfather's name?
Albert.
I mean, not your grandfather. What do your grandkids call you? I mean,
oh, Papa.
You Papa? What are you?
Depend on what child.
Oh, you got two different names?
Oh, I got, I'm Papa G. I'm Grandpa. I got so many names.
Okay. I don't have grandchildren yet, so I'm working. I'm trying to figure out what I want my grandfather's name to be. So I'm asking guys, like, what are they? Pawpaw seems to be a pretty.
Yeah, they call me Pawpaw.
Pawpaw seems to be, might be at the top of my list right now.
One of the things I want to talk to you about, Ronald, when we talk about grandkids, is extended family. Is that you being a coach and being out in the community, and the same thing with us, is that, you know, I've picked up a couple kids along the way that consider me their father. And I've been blessed and honored to serve in that role, to help them, help raise them. And you've done the same. Talk a little bit about that.
Wow, man, that's, again, that's another blessing that I say that to have in my life, to be able to know that God has used me throughout the years to be a blessing to others. You know, I mean, I can start, man, I was probably about 19 years old when I started coaching. And from that time on, I mean, I can't even go back what year that is now, but 19 years old, I started coaching basketball and started developing a relationship with these young kids. So now they're adults and now I'm seeing their children. But just to be able to play an important role, because one of the things that I've always said, even when I was president of the PTA, now PTO, you know, I always tell kids, I can tell you what to do. You can't tell me what to do. You know, one of the things that is, we're going to always respect each other.
Right.
You know, and as long as we understand the difference between you respect me, I respect you, I can tell you what to do, what you can't tell me, we can get along well. And some of the young people that I've had over the years have always understood that part of it. And so that has carried me a long way to having a certain relationship, even still now in the community with a lot of our young people, young adults. And now with my players, you know, some of them are adults, come in, they're from D1, D2 colleges. And to have them come in, some of them was fatherless. Some of them was coming out of just single family homes, was raised by their dad, not by their mom, and didn't know how to really take care of themselves. So being able to adopt those types of young people, young men back into the lives, my life. And most people don't even understand 13 years ago when I first started the organization, I mean, I had 9 adults staying with me, nine. You know,
nine big, hungry, grown men.
Right. So, and it never changed the way that we ate, never changed what we did, never changed the strategy of anything. And so these young men still to this day, I mean, some are teachers, some are police officers, some are still overseas playing, but they still call and talk, I mean, just on a normal basis.
Nice.
You know, for people that never participated in sports, you know, that relationship between coach and player, I don't think people get that. If you talk about that a little bit more, you know, it's not just X's and O's on the court.
It's not. I mean, it's the... You know, and I always tell them, I've always been at the point that we're not friends. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm can be your father figure, I can be your uncle figure, I can be whatever, but just not friends. Mm-hmm. And so people don't get that coaches are with their with children probably more than their parent is, because you think you're at school for seven, mm-hmm. 8 hours out of the day.
Yeah. Right.
Then you're back and practice 2 to 3 hours out of a day. Then you're going home. How many hours do your parent really spend with you on a regular day's basis? Yeah. Because when you go home, get out of my face, right? Mm-hmm. Or yeah. Go do your homework. Yes. Or, yeah. You know, it's time to eat dinner. Uh-huh. Go take your bath. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, not very often, especially in our culture, are we sitting down eating dinner together, watching movies together, doing things like that as a family anymore. So coaches are very important. Like you said, Mr. Burns, It's an important part of society, especially again in minority communities. It's very, very important because some of these kids don't eat. Some of these kids don't know how to conduct themselves. Some
right.
of these kids don't have clothes to wear. And those coaches really play an important role into nurturing and really forming those young men and women to be independent thinkers mm-hmm. and productive citizens.
You know, I started my career in 1984 coaching, and 84. And I was blessed to one of the girls that I coached to, you know, babysit my daughter. And you never know what's happening with these kids. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, she was 15 years old, going to school, pretending like everything was going okay, getting dropped off at a house that everybody thought was okay, and going back into a house that was empty and sleeping in an abandoned house. Mm. The second girl graduated from Fair State cum laude and was sleeping in a car. Mm. And I served as a youth minister, and I said, you're not going to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. You're going to come stay with us. Mm. You're picking up one. Talk about the points of just grabbing that one.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I mean, it goes back to our Christian upbringing. You know, if you help one, I mean, yeah. the purpose is to help save one, mm-hmm. and that one will save one. So mm-hmm. in other words, saving one would help to save many. Mm-hmm. And that's how you just have to have that mindset that you putting yourself in. So every day I get up, most people don't think, I mean, I get up and read my scripture. One get up, I'm looking at my phone, going through scriptural things throughout my phone, just really just meditating throughout the day. And my goal is to still make my mom and my dad proud. Mm-hmm. You know, both mom and dad are no longer living, but I have expectations to still please them and still mm-hmm. to make sure that I'm doing what I know they wanted me to do. Mm-hmm. And if that's doing what they want me to do, then I know I'm doing what God said to do at the same time. So,
mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. Okay. So this is 22, and this is our year end special, but it's 2:14. You got an event happening tonight.
Yes, we do. We
actually, speaking of celebration,
right? There you go. There you go. We actually have a really nice event going on for those adults that find out that they don't have anything to do in the city of Muskegon Heights. Mm-hmm. You know, so we
or Muskegon,
definitely. But the city of Muskegon Heights is where it's hosted,
right?
So we had to make that known. The city of Muskegon Heights. We have a great community center that we're able to utilize for these types of events to give adults something to do, mm-hmm. to come out. So we're going to have Big Daddy Fox and Friends.
Yes.
Along with yourself, yeah. D-Rob, coming out live band tonight at 95 West Broadway at the Lake Hawks Community Center. On the outside of the building, you'll see it say Mariana's, which is named after my grandkids. So I named the building after them because I want them to be able to say, hey, Papa did something, right?
Right.
But this event is literally a time to come out and just be able to relax and enjoy, socialize, entertain with live music, and have fun. And along the ways, we also have the cigar lounge that's in there. So people be able to sit back and partake of that and have a good sip of wine or whatever you might partake of and just enjoy yourself.
Now, what's the address and the cost and all that kind of stuff?
It's 95 West Broadway. That's right. Again, downtown Muskegon Heights. And the cost is $20. This is the first time we're actually doing something like this. Mm-hmm. Normally we do all invite things, mm-hmm. Because I don't have an open door policy. It's not a party place. We don't do clubs. Mm-hmm. So again, when you hear me talking about adult entertainment, it's for adults that we're inviting out there to say, hey, listen, I want to go someplace where I can put on my jeans or some slacks and come and sit back and enjoy.
And I have to look behind my back.
Exactly. But don't think you're not going to get scanned when you come in the door. So you will still, security still is there, and you will get scanned with the wine when you come through the door to make sure.
Yeah, it ain't that kind of party. Everybody in the club getting tipsy. It ain't that kind of party. This is something for the grown folks.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, we had an opportunity to have Big Daddy Fox and friends out a few weeks ago, and they really did an awesome job, man. It was fantastic. And I just love the energy level that they brought in. If you guys can imagine Greg Roberts, I didn't think he could move like that. But the singing, the songs, the drummer, the good type, it was just fantastic. And so we said, hey, let's try it again.
Okay.
And so we put our brains together and said, hey, one way or another, we'll make it work. It's not something that we just said, let's do it. We said, let's put our brains together. However we got to make it work, we're going to make it work. So with the adults coming out tonight and wanting to enjoy themselves and have a good time, the partnership that we have will be great, and we can continue doing things like this off and on throughout the year.
See, we grew up with Robert Moore and Greenbrook and As Is and J.P. Allen's, and there was always music. There was always music and bands playing somewhere, and that doesn't happen that much anymore. It's a lost entity. Talk about the importance of having live music and enjoying that kind of instead of the DJ.
Well, the live music, you're able to touch, you're able to listen, you're able to watch, the gifts that other people have. It's not like you say, if you listen to music, you really don't understand it. But being able to see them play and to see the drummer, I'm a drummer guy. Mm-hmm. So, me watching the drummer and his actions, and your drummer, I don't know what it is about him, but I really like him. It's something about him and his spirit that I say, we connected automatically, but when he's on them drums, he's literally playing, but you can tell he's literally speaking to those drums and talking with the entertainment, but yet making sure that he's putting on a performance.
You ever meet somebody that has a talent that you have, and then you look at him and you like, you just throw your sticks away and say, the hell with it. That's the kind of person Steve is. He is a dynamic, a great drummer.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
And if you've never seen Big Daddy Fox, I'm old enough that I remember him in high school because mm-hmm. my brother's back in the playing in bands. I remember him talking about him, and I met him years later. But if you've never seen him perform, he might be one of the most talented people in his community, but you don't know what he may end up playing before the night is over.
I say this: I've played with many of people. The mind on this guy and what he can play, and where he's gonna go. And we're going somewhere else. I've never seen nobody that can do it that easy.
It's amazing. Like I said, and you have to see it for yourself. Like you said, being around Rob for many years, understanding and seeing him, he speaks through that guitar, man. The sound. He can make that thing sound many different ways, and you wonder, how in the world are they making it sound the way it sounds? But literally, you can hear the words coming out of the guitar.
Yes.
You know, if you're really paying attention, you mean he's talking and saying the words with it. So, again, this is the entertainment. This is what is about being downtown, offering something downtown Muskegon Heights that we can enjoy and people know that, hey, I'm in a good, safe environment. Like I said, I mean, I don't mind saying that there's cameras all around my building. So, I mean, license plate reader.
There are cameras everywhere.
That make you uncomfortable, then you probably don't need to be there.
So if you're uncomfortable about that, I'm telling you, when you walk in that door, I mean, when you're parking outside, I mean, one of the things that Joy Williams said, man, he said, you know, Ron, let's make our place, you know, one of the safest places in downtown Muskegon Heights. And I said, you know what, that's true. Let's do that. And so we took our time. And many people don't even understand how long it took us to really make that place feel like home, make that place feel like a place away from home. So when we go there or when we're not there, we're not worried about what's happening, you know. So
will you talk about Mariana's a bit for people who don't know, you know, location's 95 West Broadway. But tell people about the building, and because there's more than the building. And tell people about the community center, what's going on there.
Wow. Wow, good question. I mean, one of the biggest things is, and it's basically built around youth. It's basically, that's the whole purpose, is to be able to offer youth a place to go, place of comfort, a place to have mentorship. That's what it's about. So throughout the day, you know, throughout the weeks and months, we're doing activities with our youth. We have our gaming centers on the inside, where we have the three television set up where they can do We Know Now. Most schools have it to where you can get education, you can go on to college and with this gaming system and anything. So we have our PlayStation, we have those things set up so we can do the same type of tournaments right in our facility that they're doing at the schools.
Okay.
So you can extend that after school hours and still come to our place. But, you know, we give away food out of our facility at times. I mean, so we partner with other organizations. That where we're feeding people throughout our community on different times of the year, whether it's fresh produce, whether it's meats, we do that. And a lot of times people don't even understand it because that's not what I don't care to talk about that. But at the end of the day, we're there to be a blessing more often to our youth in particular, but to families in general.
But you said that you're there for youth, but I've never seen you turn down anyone.
No, we're not. I mean, again, the way that we were raised coming up, I mean, we're here for community. It's literally community-based. And when you're community-based, it's not a big I, little you type things. It's what can we do? And that's what it's about. I mean, there's people walking up and down the street. I really didn't understand until I got the facility, and especially once I got my camera systems up. I didn't really understand how much traffic goes up and down Broadway. Neither did I understand how much walking goes up and down Broadway.
Right.
Odd hours of the night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people understand how the homeless rate is in our city, in our community.
It is huge.
It is very huge. And I didn't understand it, Burns, until my ring bell is going off or my cameras is going off and I'm looking and I start observing things for myself, and you would be amazed the different hours of the night that people are just walking up, staying busy throughout the night because they can't sleep. They'd rather walk throughout the night than doing sleep during the day. So it's amazing what we have in our community. And so hopefully the things that we're going to be doing is to enhance our community, enhance our downtown area so that we can give our people and community places to go.
You need to really check out this place because, like you said, it has TVs. It's set up for the youth, but it, you know, it also has a adult spot, you know, where if you take on a stogie, you can sit back and watch the game. It's a great facility.
Well, we're talking. We got to talk about the art facility.
Oh, we didn't talk about the art.
We didn't talk about the art gallery.
So, it is great.
If you've taken out time to, and that's one of the things that we have, Mr. Burns, we able to open up the entire building at times, and people will get a chance to partake of the art gallery. Joey Williams, and even his son, I mean, they're great, awesome, talented people that we're teaching young people how to paint, how to airbrush. But when you walk in there and you begin to see some of the paintings that speaks to you and that you look at them and everything that you're looking at, something that I see, you may not see, but you're going to come in. And when we're sitting there talking, now we're socializing on a picture that we're all coming up with some different solutions, some different ideas from. There's one painting in there. It touches me every single time.
I bet we had talked about the same one because I took a picture of it on my phone.
Okay. This one, it's the kid. The kid is there and the father is laying there. And there, she's like literally there and she's crying because dad is now, whether he's significantly injured or he's now dead or he's shot or he's stabbed, whatever you see in that picture, it's our kid's reality.
Oh.
And when I had some people come through that's not from this community, they say, wow, you guys really have. I'll say, that's some of our kids' reality.
Yes.
And when they see this, when we can talk to them, we can get them to get through some of these things. Yes. So it's a mental part of this. That's the teaching part in that art gallery that most people don't get. So what Joy is doing and others are doing in that art gallery is fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, when I looked at that picture, that father being down represented so many things, whether it was an absent father or whether, the person never had a chance to know or...
Man.
Or whatever, and this kid is just bawling.
Man.
It speaks multitudes to them.
Man, you got me get chill bumps over here, man. I'm telling you, people got to see this, man. You see, I got tears in my eyes, man. Yeah, people have to see for themselves.
But like you say, it's a lot of our kids' reality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, you see it, and it says something different every time. Yeah. But I want to add this too for people, and this is my editorial. A lot of people say they open up buildings and activities for youth, but what I like is you put together a first rate building.
Thank you.
First rate.
And so when we expose our kids to things, they're like, oh, this is good enough for you. So they may come to the building that's nicer than places they've been to before, nicer than their home or other places, so that it raises their expectation. Mm-hmm. And I know you will have to know that's what you're trying to present to them is, no, you could have something nice.
Mm-hmm.
You got rules there
and
conduct, but no, this nice place is for you. And I appreciate that.
Yeah. And again, credit to the Career Tech Center, the CTC, that we partnered with, and we were able to work with youth. And that's how we created that atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the things, when you're walking on that floor, when you're looking at certain walls, when you're walking in the bathroom areas, these young people were on their hands and knees putting these things together.
Wow.
And so when you're seeing Monty Williams and some of these other young men and young ladies out there, because we had some young ladies that was in the class, they firsthand was able to entertain and put those pieces of the puzzle together.
Mm-hmm.
So, one of the biggest things I remember Monty saying is, Mr. Jenkins, I can't wait till this place is done. This is going to be our place of comfort.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be our safe haven. So I can't wait till it's done. And so that really just, like you said, inspired me to make sure, and I tell my staff, I tell my administrators all the time, help me stay focused. We say this is for our youth.
Mm-hmm.
This is for our community. Let's stay focused and keep it that way. No matter what. It's not about money. It's not about all these things. I'm not looking for quick money. I don't care about all that.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do care about is when we were coming up, we were promised, we were told some of these things were going to happen. We were going to have these things. And some of those things we never received.
Mm-hmm.
We never got. But in this case, we wanted to give them something, and we want to stay focused on that. So thank you, Mr. Burns, for even acknowledging that and seeing that that these young people are very important to that community center.
Yes, afternoon. Good afternoon. And did someone say art gallery? Yes, there's an art gallery there. Listen, we're at the bottom of the aisle. You're watching and listening to Torn In 2 on 103.7 The Beat and M106. We're going to take a commercial break. We're here with Coach Ronald Jenkins. We'll see you in a second. Or 2 seconds. Or maybe we're supposed to continue. I don't know. Well, it's live TV. Welcome back to Torn In 2.
We are live.
We got to continue our conversation. Listen, this is the last show of the year. We're going to go in a different direction for a little bit. We're going to just talk about the year, and I'm going to ask, the first question goes to Pastor Melvin Burns. We've had a lot of guests, quality guests this year. Yes. But we also have had a lot of quality events, a lot of things, political. Anything that surprises you this year or anything you remember?
Wow, it's been a year of surprises. we started as a political show, and I think we did not expect the election to turn out like it did. So that's probably one of the big surprises of the year. But, you know, all the interviews we did, you know, the one I was talking to somebody, they were talking about this program they'd seen on Netflix. I forget the sheriff's name in Arkansas. And I said, oh, yeah, we interviewed him.
Yes.
And it got me thinking. I said, you know, we've really been blessed to talk to people local in our community doing things we didn't even know about. Talk to business people. The people we've been able to talk to and introduce to our audience really as a whole, I feel blessed that we've had that opportunity.
Yeah, one part of the show, I think one of the things that really blessed me is talking to Senator Cory Booker.
Oh man, wasn't that awesome?
Yeah.
And he didn't just big time us. Well, he must have spent like 20 minutes, half hour with us.
Yeah, and I know somebody was saying, you know, he's got other interviews. He didn't want to go. I said, preach on, brother, pass the plate.
And we learned he had family roots in West Michigan.
Yes.
We did not know.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think when his family first came from the South, they were in West Michigan. Mm-hmm. But he knew the area, and I didn't know that. But I forget. That was a good, really good interview. Good time.
Yeah. Anything, Coach, that surprised you or touched you this year that you want to talk about or address?
Well, you know what? We did our fourth annual Shot with a Cop.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Man.
And
we'll talk a little bit about, because some people might not know about that.
Well, we started this four years ago, and we partnered with Subaru of Muskegon County, of the Lakeshore, rather. And we wanted to do something to be able to provide a better Christmas for youth, for children, for their families. Mm-hmm. And so what we did was we were able to get a hold of the schools and get names of children that was in need that did not have parents, did not have. And be able to get those names. I know when we was coming up, we had what they call Goodfellow bags and mm-hmm. things like
yeah.
that. And I don't know if they still do those types of things, but we were fortunate enough to where we started out in the very beginning, the first year, we started out with 50 kids. And now we're at 100.
Wow.
So the last 2 years, we've done 100 kids. Mm-hmm. And it's grown already outside of that to where now we're extending outside of 100 kids. To give $100 to every single kid to go Christmas shopping.
Wow.
But the most important thing is, to me, outside of the gift cards and giving them opportunity to go shopping, was introducing them not only to Shop with a Cop, but we changed the terminology our last couple years because now it's Shop with a Professional.
Wow.
Because we know that we were bringing in relationships in because people, our young people, didn't trust the police or they didn't understand what the jobs of police officers were.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last 2 years, we had even more women. Even thankful to our own city, we have more women police officers on patrol now. And so now these young girls are interested in that field. But it began to develop relationships with our local police in our community. So now it's literally community policing. And I don't think many people know how important that is. Most people think, well, okay, there's a Shot with a Cop and the kids are going shopping, but no, the cops, the police officer, and I give credit to all the chiefs around, because these officers that come in so humbled and mm-hmm. so ecstatic and so excited to do this with kids. They literally take time,
yes.
walk through the store one by one with each kid to go down whatever aisle they want to go down to, for the kid to pick out whatever they want to pick out. And some of these officers literally still take out money out of their pocket to help certain kids. Yeah. This is so amazing, so much bigger than what people think. Yes. Yeah. But we are able to provide food. What the Lakehawks does, differently than what some of the other Shotwater cops do, we literally have dinner time. Mm-hmm. We provide food, meals for those families. They can come in and literally eat together, socialize, just commune together. Santa there, all these things, you know, it's so amazing. So these are something that's probably one of the biggest things now of the year, outside of what we did Night on the Lake with the boys, our second annual. That was amazing. But the biggest thing is turning Lake Pink with the girls. We were able to bring out like 80 some girls. We knew what we did with boys was successful, but we turned around and did the same thing with the girls. And I thought the girls were going to be a little bit easier to do, but but I tell you what, man, I tell you, so these events that we're doing throughout the years has been amazing. But thankful again, and I don't just say this when I'm talking to Mr. Burns about things, but he also came in, and he has a special knit with fighters. But he loves it. And I'm thinking, like, okay, why is he still standing over there? He's literally trying to finagle, trying to figure out ways how he's going to start this thing.
And make it bigger.
How it's going to be bigger. And so last year when we started it, he said, okay, it was good. It was nice. All right. He said, I want to come back. I'll be back next year because I'm going to do it bigger and better. And so we had the girls first this year. So he came out, man, that fire was so big and so high. Yeah.
And let me tell people what that is. You know, my whole family has been to scouting my whole life. And man, Scott, you know, and Camp Gerber, I remember that's why I met him. He don't know.
Former scoutmaster.
We first met with scouting back out of Camp Gerber, but it was such an important part of my life, you know, and growing up, man. And, you know, for kids that had that experience to be out there on the lake, man. And I remember the campfires at night. And so I just want to, that's why, you know, when you first talked about the Nano Lake, I was like, man, that's awesome. And then I said, no campfire. Wait a minute, we got to fix that. You know, that's not camping. So that's just close to my heart, that idea of kids getting out there camping, man. And just, you know, I remember when you first said we're going to take them out to campsite, and he was like, you know what? You take them out of our community. Mm-hmm. You know, we have this natural park here in the community. Yeah. And so, man, just it's close to my heart. It's the kids being out there, out in nature, you know, and we'd sort of do a mix of nature and modern camping. But yeah, kids haven't done that before.
Yeah.
Slept in a tent. And so it touched me. So I'm appreciative just being a part of it.
You know, the shop with the cop thing, one of the things that touched my heart is that one of those pictures is two. One is a sheriff, and one works in the corrections. Mm-hmm. And those are two of my bonus girls.
Oh, wow.
And to see them shop and love this just brings tear and joy to me.
Man, I'm telling you, man. So, and I just want to put the last part about that fire. Because, I mean, this fire was so big, but it was so hot.
It was a little hot.
Our fire department, our city has been great, man. Our city has been great participating. Uh-huh. And, the fire department has been exciting about it. Really good guys. Kudos to, and even our police department, because even they come out. And even during the girls, we had two of our officers that came out, and they was there throughout the night. Mm-hmm. So yes, they wanted to be a part of the activity. But with the fire itself, man, it was so hot. So now what he did, he got so smart with it. He had the big one going on over here, and then he put this little small one over here so we can still do the s'mores and things. And so I had to tell him, I said, Burns, I said, you outdid yourself on this one, because it was the girls, and the boys are going to be 2 weeks later. I said, now, I don't know how you're going to top this one, because you got to do something better for the boys. But that's what makes it so exciting. Yeah. So we are always excited about that. Like you said, one young man, and I got to say this, one young man that was there, he's a junior now in school. Matter of fact, he's a sophomore. And he was, you know how kids are. They're out there. You could tell something different about him, because he still would say yes, yes, sir, and things like that. But at the same time, there was times throughout the night where he would just, like, nagging at other kids, like, just for attention. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, you every now and again, you hear a curse word come out. You hear this, and we're like, nope, can't do that here. You know, there's some rules, there's some regulations you got to follow. All right, you got one more warning, we're going to send you home. You know, and so this one time, and we were all sitting over at on that camp, and we heard it. So I said, young man, come on over. And I said, how many times have we talked to you about this? And I said, there's expectation, there's rules. We've talked to you way too many times. Therefore, the decision has come that you have to leave the camp. No questions asked. And I walked away. So they were getting ready to pack him up and do all those things, Mr. Burns. Probably about 10 minutes later, he came back. We were all sitting, myself, Cedric Scott, and all of us. We were sitting along the campground, and he came over, and he said, excuse me, can I talk to you, sir? Out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking like me. Like, we're all sitting there, like 8 of us. Uh-huh. And he said, yes, can I just talk to you just for a second? So I said, okay, of course. I look back at my guy, watch my back here, right? Mm-hmm. So I got up and went to his first thing he said, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. He said, I want to tell you I'm sorry. He said, because I know better. He said, I was raised better than this.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And he said, you give me one more chance, I promise you that you will have no issues out of me. I said, well, we've already talked about this. And if I allow you to stay, then what am I teaching the others? Am I teaching others that we have rules that can be broken and just break them and then you still stay in, or what's the case? He said, but I promise you, sir, if you give me this chance, I promise that you won't have no more issues out of me. I knew something was different. You know how you can have that feeling?
Yeah,
because
yeah,
you can tell that the conversation was sincere. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that he was just saying it. And I said, you know what? I played it off. I'm like, well, let me think about it. And I went over to the guys. I told them, I said, man, listen, this kid. He said, well, what do you think? Ron, it's your decision, whatever you think. I said, no. I said, let's make this decision together. You know, I don't ever want to be the one that's making the decision. He's like, Ron, you make the decision. In other words, I'm saying, to cut it short, I said, okay, we're going to give him another chance. I called the young man back over. I said, listen, everybody agree, we're going to give you another chance. That was probably the best decision that as men mentors that night that we made.
Mm-hmm.
That young man not only changed his behavior, but he changed the behavior of some of the other young boys that was around him.
Right.
I mean, do y'all hear what I'm saying?
Right.
He changed them.
Right.
I mean, it's like it was a whole different atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This young man, I didn't know that he was so smart. He was a part of the JROTC?
Okay.
I had no idea.
Uh-huh.
But when we got up the next morning, this kid was folding tents and putting tents back together, folding up sleeping bags and putting sleeping bags back in the bags. I'm like, look at this kid. Like, how do you know how to do this?
Mm,
he said, well, sir, I'm a part of the military, young military family or something like that. He's telling me, he said, I'm part of JROTC or whatever. I said, are you serious? So you really know how to do all this?
Uh-huh.
He said, yes, sir. That's exactly what it is. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
I said, well, you know what? Can you help me help these other kids, show them how to do this? Because I don't even know how to do it.
Uh-huh.
He said, yes, sir. He went into each camp, man, and started helping these kids. At the end of the camp, I brought him back to the front.
Uh-huh.
And I told everybody, I said, young fellas, I want everybody to watch this. I said, you all remember this young man right here? He was a problem kid, but now he's a leader.
Uh-huh.
I said, he stepped up.
Yep.
And we didn't even know that he had this in him.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
And I say, I want you all to understand this, because one day this is going to be you. Mm-hmm. That's my story.
That's awesome.
Now, I want you to touch on this, because I've found some of us. I was at the gas station. The guy called me an OG. but the expectation where people say kids can't. But we grew up where the bar was here. This was the standard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to get lowered. But somehow it's lowering what they think kids will do, can do. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that, because kids will accept discipline. Mm-hmm. Kids will, if you set expectations, mm-hmm. they either have to learn how to meet them or they have to suffer consequences.
Can I say this part? You use the word kids will accept discipline. I'm going to say kids want discipline.
Discipline. All right.
Okay.
Yes.
Kids mm-hmm. want to be directed. Yes. Kids don't want to be outsiders. They don't want to feel isolated. They want to feel wanted and needed. Mm-hmm. So they want to be able to know that they have a direction. They have a bedtime. They have expectations. They have these things. They want that. The kids didn't change.
The parents
changed.
Right.
It wasn't the kids' mentality change. It's the adult mentality change. Because the way we were brought up, as you guys said earlier, mm-hmm. we were the ones that changed,
mm-hmm. yes,
not yeah. the kids.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it's the parenting style that is now different. It ain't no different than what Christ told you. He says, you raise a child in the right way, okay? Mm-hmm. He ain't going too far off.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He may detour a little bit, but he's coming back home. Yeah.
Because if he doesn't get it at home, mm-hmm. he's going to get it somewhere.
Correct.
If he don't get attention and direction at home, he's going to go get attention somewhere else, mm-hmm. he or she.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's where we get the pros and cons, the good, the bad, the negative behaviors, positive behaviors. Mm-hmm. That's where it comes from. Because if like you say, if you're not getting it here, mm-hmm. you're seeking out to it some other place. It's, I mean, you're reaching out. And a lot of times our children are reaching out to us. They're reaching yeah. out to adults. Mm-hmm. They're not trying to belittle you, and they're not trying to disrespect you. They're really reaching out, and they're trying to find that one somebody that is actually can hear them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we're talking at our kids, not talking with them.
Yeah. You know, I think of this when you think how much work it is for a young person when they don't know when they're going to eat,
mm-hmm.
when they go to bed.
Wow.
If somebody gonna get up for school, that's a lot of work.
Man, you putting your sermon together for Sunday?
Well, yeah. And I teach the same principle another way, but think about it. When I know when I get home, 6 o'clock I'm gonna have dinner. I gotta do my homework. At 9 o'clock I gotta get to bed. When mm-hmm. I get up in the morning, all I gotta do is get up, get dressed, and breakfast is gonna be there. Think how simple their life is now.
Mm-hmm.
But when you gotta figure that stuff, we're adults, you know.
Right.
So when you're a kid and you have to do that, that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
So I don't know when I'm supposed to talk and not talk. I don't know when I can crack jokes and not crack jokes because nobody's giving me. But when you know that, okay, this is work time, this is play time, it makes their life so much simpler.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't know. That's a whole lot of work.
And what you're talking about, Pastor, I work in an environment right now that kids don't know that.
Yeah.
They don't know when they get home what they're going to eat. They might know that the whole weekend, all they're going to have is like rice, mm-hmm. or they might not have anything else. And they can't wait to get back to that environment to have a meal. Mm-hmm. This is happening in Muskegon, like you were talking about the homeless. I want to bring this up. Going into this next year, 2025, it's going to be very important that people understand community and coming together mm-hmm. as a tribe and lean on each other.
Yeah.
And how important is it that, like, you made a decision that I'm going to help the community instead of waiting for the government or waiting for somebody? How important is it to take that leap of faith to help people?
It's important just to not be afraid. God does not give us the spirit of fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he want us to have hope. He want us to have that grace. He wants us to have that mercy in our hearts because that's what he grants us mm-hmm. every day.
Yes.
So when we're thinking on the positive side, it's so easy for us to think more positive than it is to think negative, but you just got to put your mind to saying that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, you know, that's where it's important to me every single day that we are trying to help somebody. I just want to hit back on what you said about the kids. Muskegon, Muskegon Heights, Muskegon County. Pay attention to what we're saying when we're talking about children not eating, not having food, not having a proper household to go home to. This is not just a talk. This is real.
Reality.
This is reality every day, especially in our inner city schools. this is not just a conversation, round table conversation that we're having. This is reality. This is our truth. Mm-hmm. We need to stick together more as a community. This presidential election has changed and will change significantly how things are in your household, how it is in your community, how it is in your own personal life. But we have to, Burns, Roberts, we have to put emphasis on our children.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You said it. I mean, these Muskegon hikes I can talk about because I'm here every day.
Mm-hmm.
When you see kids walking to school, when you see kids late for school, and you see kids not being able to go to school. So when you're talking about kids staying out at night or doing whatever the case is, truancy issues and things, that is real, because that 7-year-old is trying to figure out how that 5-year-old is going to work, how to eat.
Mm-hmm.
That 9-year-old is trying to figure out, how am I going to help get my 3-year-old in a pull-up? This is real talk.
Real talk.
So yeah, when we're walking to school and we're passing by kids, we don't really see what they're going through. But if you look at the faces of some of our young people, you would see their hurt, you see their pain, and you also see them crying out. The difference is, what are we going to do?
That's it. You know, the crying out, a lot of people think that it's an inner city thing. Yeah. We did a ministry called Real Talk.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a thing where we said, all kids can come, no matter where you come. We ended up having kids from Reese Buffer, North Muskegon, mm-hmm. Whitehall, come together, do a service where they pick what they want to talk about. Mm-hmm. We said, give us a week to study. Mm-hmm. And then we came back and we talked about the issue and then broke up into groups. We had people from all over. And what I found out is that the hurt is not only in Muskegon Heights, but they're starving in Ravana. Mm-hmm. They're starving in Reese Puffer. They're starving in North Muskegon. Some of the best looking homes out on the lake are some of the worst homes going in as a firefighter where people are struggling. But talk about making a change.
Making a change, making a difference, so that we're not torn in two.
Right. Come on now.
Okay.
Making a change, making a difference. You said how our firefighters and our police officers are going into these homes. They seeing this stuff firsthand. Again, kudos to our fire departments, our emergency personnel, our police officers, fire, everybody.
Correction officers.
Correction. Do we understand the stress level that they deal with, seeing these things mm-hmm. on a daily basis,
mm-hmm.
but yet we expect them to live a normal life?
Yes.
So the stress level, the lifeline of our people. So in other words, pass a good word on.
Yes.
Pass a good word on to the mm-hmm. next person. When you see that police officer, when you see that fire, when you see that correction, when you see that emergency response, somebody stop and take time out. I don't care if you take a gift to them. I don't care if you just give them a kind word. Our community, let's reach out to each other on a different note, as you say, in 2025,
mm-hmm.
that we can make a difference. Because we make a difference from above, we know we can make a difference beyond,
mm-hmm.
below.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So start with the adults. Mm-hmm. On to our children.
254. What's your year-end message? What do you want to tell people about Christmas and going into the new year? And the same thing is going to do you.
What I want to tell people about Christmas and going into the new year? One of the things mm-hmm. I do, I always say Christmas, remembering the reason for the season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Me, it's not about the gifts. It's not about the toys. It's not about all those things. It's not about going in debt. And so some of you parents that are already getting ready to start going shopping and you have not yet gone, stop, take a step back, refocus, rethink, because right now you need to start thinking about balancing and budgeting. Those that have already gone shopping, stop. Don't throw that receipt away yet. Maybe take those things back. And maybe think differently. Don't go in debt wondering how and trying to please your child for a week, for 2 weeks, because most of those toys and things that you're going to get and buy, they're only going to last those few days. Mm-hmm. The excitement only going to be for those few days. Yes. But what are you going to do next month? What are you going to do 3 months from now, 6 months from now? So I want to encourage, take time out, stop, rethink this thing, refocus, rethinking about yourself, because you can think about self and think about how you're going to balance yourself, balance your lifestyle out. You can help and balance your child lifestyle out, because now they're looking at longevity. So hopefully that we can do those things and get parents to understand that it's not about the gift that you're giving that child, unless you're giving them the gift of life.
That's good.
That's smart. I like that. I put, you know, and I preach this in my church, don't stress yourself out and go broke over the gifts. But man, what a, you may be off a day or two. Get with your kids. You know, we don't play family game. Sit there, you know, watch them play a video game with them. You know, don't spend all your time in front of you watching football or basketball games, but enjoy your family. You know, take them, take the time off to just de-stress and, you know, have a meal and just enjoy spending time with each other, or reacclimate yourself to each other. You know, we know we get together. We're blessed that now we used to get together at my house, my sister's house. Now we're going to my niece's house so we can eat and leave. But you know, an OG, I'm the OG now. So
yeah,
I eat, somebody fix my plate, I sit back, I watch the kids play, watch them enjoy themselves, fall asleep. And you know, I enjoy that. I don't, you know, I don't really need anything. And so I just enjoy being in an environment, you know, and I just, I will say this real quick, going back to like shop with a cop, you know, we hire officers. I've interviewed hundreds of officers, police and fire in my career. Never one said, some don't work out. They all said the same thing. I want to help people. And so that opportunity they get, they might get, you've got a year experience. You get stuck on third shift. You're arresting people, drunks, breaking up fights. For them to get a chance to just interact with people outside of that, you know, it does as much for them officers as it does for the kids.
Yes, so it does.
That's a tremendous opportunity for them. I've always said, I wish we could get the new people off the third shift so they can meet the normal people in the daytime. Right. So that's a tremendous opportunity for them. But like you say, just a, it's the holiday season, an extra thank you.
A smile.
A little more patience in the line. You know, and those things just make a difference to people. And if people say you should do it year round, okay, people don't. So maybe during the holiday season, when you see the bows and the ribbons, it's a thought in your mind. You know what? I'm gonna be a little kinder. I'm gonna be a little nicer. I'm gonna be a little appreciative. I'm a little bit easier on somebody. Those are the kind of things I think about.
Nice. In 2025, I'm gonna say this: we need more people to step out.
Yeah.
This is going to be a year that community, we're going to have to come together and be community, be that tribe, be that village. We're going to have to go back to opening in our churches, not only on Sunday, but every day, to help people do like this young man have, where there's safe zone and people that are starving can have a meal or do whatever. Stop judging people that are on the corner that may be holding up a sign. Not everybody's out there trying to get rich. Right. It's going to be a year where there's going to be some tough decisions made on the community by the U.S. government. We need to face the fact that we can make a difference. One person like this man right here can make a difference, where we can open up our homes just to invite that one kid to sow a seed in their lives. In 2025, we're going to have to come together. We can't be torn apart. We're going to change the name and continue to bring you information. Listen, I'm Greg Roberts. We've been doing this 4 years. God bless. Thank you, people, for responding in all the comments. Mr. Jenkins, thank you for being here. Mr. Burns, Pastor Burns, as always, thank you so much. To the staff, Happy New Year. And to you guys, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. We'll see you in 2025 with a new name, same old bright faces. And for the last time, we see you later. Go sow that seed in somebody's life. Thank you for watching Torn in Two. Take care. God bless. Merry Christmas.